Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Is it cold enough for you? We're thinking warm thoughts this morning, warm thoughts. If you are visiting with us today for the first time, we want to welcome you and let you know that there are actually visitors cards in the pew in front of you, and if you want to fill one out, you can, and then just drop it in the offering plate as it comes by. That way we can know a little bit about you, and we would greatly appreciate that. Just a few announcements for you this morning to the youth. There will be no choir tonight and no Bible study. So no choir, no Bible study. Read your Bibles at home. Okay. Also, one other thing, though, for the youth. Disciple Now Weekend is coming up February 2nd through the 4th. I am collecting $40 per student. And so if you have that, you can give it to me. And I have some flyers here, too, if you want to get some more information, that kind of thing. But that will be due back to me by January 21st, so please don't forget that. Offering envelopes are available on the side pews if you have not picked up offering envelopes for this year. They are available to you over here, and if those run out, just let us know, and we can get you some. Bread banks will be distributed during the month of January, so please just keep that in mind. And then also, please be aware of our discipleship opportunities that we have. We have our sign-ups in the atrium, several different classes that we're offering, some really good stuff. So take a look. If you haven't, stop by there and look at our sign-up sheets. And then in the way of remembering some of our prayer concerns and prayer needs, we want to remember, especially today, with our thoughts and prayers, of the Nora McNeil family. The funeral will be held today here in the sanctuary at 3 o'clock, and then afterwards there will be a visitation and refreshments following in the fellowship hall. So please just remember to keep that family in your prayers, if you will. And now I just ask that you turn your hearts and minds towards worship. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be able to gather in a warm place this morning. God, to gather to worship your name and to sing your praises. God, I just ask that we would put our complete focus on you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let us continue worshiping by singing number 407, Because He Lives. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you for bringing us here safely on this very cold morning. We want to remember those on our prayer list, Lord, those who are sick and suffering, those who have lost loved ones. And be with us now and open our heart to the message. And forgive us of our many sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
in the garden.
Everybody. Oh, whoa. Okay, we got to try that again because I'm not even sure you're awake, okay? Good morning. Okay, you're there. Thank goodness. Thank you. Okay, so I have been outside for the past couple of days, and there seems to be this white stuff on the ground. Have you seen it? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's snow. That stuff's pretty cold, isn't it? Yeah. Did you guys go out and play in the snow at all?
Yeah.
Did anybody build a snowman? No? You didn't? Because it was like dust, it wouldn't stick together too well? Okay. Well, do you know how to build a snowman? How do you build one? What do you do?
Balls.
That's right. You have to roll the snow into balls. Yeah, so you make a big one, and then a medium size, and then a small one, right? And you stack them on top of each other so that it stands up for the snowman.
And then you need a carrot.
Uh-huh, and you need a carrot. And what else? What else do you put on them?
Buttons.
You put what?
Buttons.
Yes, you can put buttons, absolutely.
A hat.
What else? Does he need some arms? What do you use for arms?
Sticks.
Sticks, yeah. Anything else we put on our snowman? And a scarf. You have to put a scarf on him to keep him warm, right?
And a face.
Oh, and a face. That's right. See, you guys are experts. So next time it snows,
maybe like next week, who knows, you guys can go out and build a snowman because you're experts at building snowmen, right? Yes.
If you have like a tiny snowman and you want to make it bigger, just roll it down the hill.
Oh, okay. So if you have a tiny snowman, if you want to make it bigger, just roll it down the hill. That's our good advice. I like that. So this morning, what I want to talk to you about is anybody can make a snowman, but only God can make real people. Did you know that? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." Guys, that is special. That is so special. God created man. He created me and you to live and to give joy to others and to spread his love to others. But he created us. Just like you can create a snowman, a lot of people can do that, right? We talked about how to do that. But only God can create man. We want to give thanks for that this morning. And we want to remember that as we go out and we see the snow. You see it on the ground still. Remember that God created man. Okay? Can we remember that this week? Yeah? All right, let's say a prayer. God, thank you so much for the gift of life. God, we thank you for that reminder when we look at the snow and when we look at snowmen that are created. God, we thank you for this gift of life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. This is what the Lord says. Don't let wise people brag about their wisdom. Don't let strong people brag about their strength. Don't let rich people brag about their riches. If they want to brag, they should brag that they understand and know me. They should brag that I, the Lord, act out of love, righteousness, and justice on the earth. This kind of bragging pleases me, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all.
Happy New Year. It has been a while since I have been able to stand in this place. Taylor did it for us last Sunday, and did a fantastic job, and we appreciate her. 252 showed up on Christmas Eve to worship our Lord. And you have braved the blizzard of 2018 to be here today. I thought it was quite ironic that at about 10 o'clock on Wednesday, when I looked at the advisory, Lee County wasn't in it. I don't know what that tells us. 4 inches is what I measured at my house. Well, 2018 is starting out to be chilly. Did you notice the temperature this morning? Those are numbers we don't see very often, and I'm okay with that. But for us, for a moment or two today, I want us to ask ourselves, as 2018 is brand new, and on the very first Sunday of the year, we're going to come to this table, this most special table, this table where in a moment we'll hand you a piece of bread, and we'll tell you it's the body of Christ, and we'll hand you a small glass of grape juice, and we'll tell you to connect yourself to the blood of Christ that was spilled. As we were singing, as the instruments were playing, and I love when our instruments play, I noticed that window. I don't know what you do. These windows, they speak to me often in our worship. I hope at times when it's appropriate, not during the sermon, that you will reflect upon those windows. and what they tell us. But I remember learning in Bible school when we would do the pledge to the Bible that I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart that I may not what?
Sin against God.
And seeing the lamp and the cross together. And then I looked at this table and I was mindful of how we start 2018. My wife and I took a vacation, as it were, for our anniversary / Christmas / birthday, and we went to Asheville and saw the Biltmore House for the first time in our lives. And you know, being a pastor, I guess you've got a little radar that's always up. And we had been through the house, and it's an amazing thing. It really is. But for some reason, Lunette was in the house, and I had gone out, and I was coming back in. And it was January the 1st. And suddenly I saw a family that I did not know in major conflict, a husband and a wife and a son, so much so that they had to call security. And I thought, wow, what a way to start the year. You see, we all bring our stuff to 2018, don't we? Wouldn't it be great if we could just leave it all in 2017? But we can't. But what we can do, and what Paul, in our text today, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16, will tell us to do. Well, it's a start out like we can hold out. In parentheses, you may see less past. And I could have even said less future and more now. Living today. And what we're called to do. Our text is Philippians chapter 3. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's Word. I'm going to come back and look at a few verses above that, but I want to just begin in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth, the surpassing, going beyond, going ahead of, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We're going to share this table. May share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or that I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, and you'll see the text, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Would you pray with me? Lord, it is good to be in this place with this people. Speak to us now. And hear us as we speak unto you. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Gene and Glenda Barrett have been married over 50 years. I want to believe it's 53. Gene came when he retired as the administrator of John Umstead Hospital in Butner to move into the Beaufort area. He actually lived to Smyrna. Folks will tell you, if you live in Beaufort, you don't really start down east till you turn right at Carteret High School on 70. Then you start down east. And Smyrna is down east. But they came to our church in Beaufort, and he and I became wonderful friends. We took trips to out west together. And I love one story he tells about his wedding day, now some 53 years ago, because they were planning to go to New York City, I believe it was, for their honeymoon. But when he arrived at the church in his old car, he had a canoe tied on top. He had fishing poles out the window, and he had a shotgun on the front seat. And folks said, "Gene, what in the world have you got all this stuff in your car? You're leaving here and going to the city on your honeymoon." He said, "Fellas, I've decided I'm going to start out like I can hold out." Do you see where he was going with that? He wanted it understood that hunting and fishing and taking trips on canoes was a part of his relationship with Glenda. And if you know Glenda, I can see her cut her eyes at him on her wedding day and put him where he needed to be. Start out like you can hold out. I've never forgotten those words. Start out like you can hold out. Start out 2018 like you can hold out through 2018. I think that's exactly the word that we need today. Did you notice our parking lot when you got here today? Did you notice our parking lot? I'll wait. Y'all go ahead outside and take a walk around. The parking lot is cleared, and it's not cleared simply because of the heat wave that we've had in the last couple of days. It's cleared because several came yesterday. And you should have heard those shovels as they scraped the ice and asphalt. And for an hour and a half, we worked to clear the parking lot. And that wasn't wasted on me either. That doing church takes work. That having church takes work. It doesn't just come automatically. I think Paul wants us to understand that it doesn't just happen. We don't just show up and that's all there is. Church takes work. Thank you to everyone who came and worked so hard yesterday to make it safe for us today. Yeah, that was for y'all, I think. And I thought, Flat Springs, in 2018, we can make an impact. Oh, we've made an impact for a century and a decade. And I am excited about that. But we can make an impact in 2018. There can be those changes that maybe even on a day like today, the first Sunday of a year, when you're reflecting back to other first Sundays of a new year, when you thought, yes, this year, I want to make some real commitments to God. I think that's what Paul is encouraging us to do. He says to count everything as less so Christ can become more. This year, almost every sermon that I preach, it's going to be talking about less being more. It's going to talk about what are the things in our life that if we were to put less emphasis, if we were to put less energy, if we were to give more room by taking some of the things that are there and moving them out, that God could do. And I know no better place to start than in this passage where Paul, he's reminding us. And another great illustration is that of John the Baptist. You remember John. John, who in his day was quite a character. We might expect to see him on the wrestling channel. He was that kind of guy. He was tough. He was a man's man. He was a prophet who was unafraid. And he was a preacher. And folks loved to hear him preach. He had a great respect of all the people, and crowds would come from out of the city. They'd come to the river, and they would listen for hours to John the Baptizer as he would preach. But in John 3:30, the prophet John says, speaking of Christ, he must increase, and I must decrease. He must increase. Jesus must increase, and I must decrease. I wonder today if the Holy Spirit might put on our eyes and on our mind some areas where, for in order for Christ to increase, there are some things that need to decrease. Jesus, in just a moment, when you come to this table, is the most tremendous illustration that I have of one who's willing to decrease in order that others might increase. You see, Christ the greatest came and became the least in order that you and I might have a way in. In Philippians 3, 4 through 6, Paul shares his credentials. They're right impressive, I might ask. I might add, he was quite a guy. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, he says, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, or boasting, the King James would say, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness under the law, blameless. That's quite a resume. Those are some big credentials. Many think that Paul was an up-and-coming superstar in Jewish life, that he was one who would make such an impact both in front of people and behind the scenes. He was a worker for the faith, and I believe genuinely working. It is those credentials, by the way, that he says, I count them as nothing. They're unimportant to me. My status, my gain, my influence, that's not what it's about. It's about Christ. It's tempting for us to think about what used to be. I do that. Do you ever do that? Do you remember a day when the church was? Do you remember a time in your walk with God when you were? It's tempting. But Paul says, don't do that. I long for a time when the church might come back to what I would call favorite status, but that's not going to happen. I'm a realist. Paul says, forget what's behind. Just forget about it. Now, to forget doesn't mean to throw away our sacred history. That's not what he's talking about at all. But what he's saying is, live now. It's easy, church. It's easy for us to become so remembering what used to be that we just rest there. Many of you can remember, well, maybe not many of you, some of you can remember when this building was built. And more can remember when, well, I guess that one first, and then this one, and then that one, and then this one. And you can remember where the church was. Many of you can remember, some of you can remember the little white church that sat over here in the building. And I've heard stories about coming, I can't imagine, on a day like today, and stoking the fire to make sure that stove was warm so there could be a service here. It's easy sometimes. I think Satan often tempts us with the past and the future. He realizes that if he can get us thinking about what used to be, what we used to do, and what we might do, what we could do, that what we'll do today is not much. And Satan will trip us with that. He'll mess us up with that. I think that's, again, what Paul was trying to say when he calls us in verse 14 to press on to the upward call. Press on to the upward call of being people of God. You see, Paul calls us to right now. I was just looking at a few verses, or actually just they just came to my mind as I was preparing this sermon. You remember one that I often start worship with? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day of salvation. Today salvation has come into this house. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. On this first day of 2018, this cold Sunday, can we decide where we need to decrease, where less time needs to be spent, less energy, less money, less everything, that Christ may increase? Pressing on. Pressing on. It's tempting sometimes to be caught up in a used to faith, but we need a now faith. A faith that calls us to where we are. I don't know when I was, how old I was. I was thinking of our youth over here. I might have been 14 or 15 when the first time I held the communion elements in my hand, I really made a connection to what we were doing. It's a sacred moment. Some of our brothers and sisters do this every Sunday. And they say that it is the focal point of their worship, this table. We do it quarterly and a couple of other times. You can do it too much, you can do it too little. But when you do it, when you come to this table, come in this moment, here's what I want to ask us to do. In just a moment, our choir is going to sing a hymn, a special transitioning us to prepare ourselves for this table. And when you hold in your hand that little piece of bread, and we invite all who are believers and have been baptized to celebrate communion with us. When you hold that little piece of bread, I want you to think about today. What do you need to do? Maybe when you get home, you need to get out a piece of paper and a pen and write down. Make two columns, decreasing and increasing. Decreasing and increasing. What do I need to decrease? What's taking too much of my time? What am I spending too much time doing that I can't increase in my Bible study? Or my prayer life, or my walk with God, my witness, my sharing, my service, because of these things. Write them down. And as you hold this piece of bread and this cup in your hand, I want you to hear the Lord say, do this in remembrance of me today. Today. Not yesterday. Not tomorrow. Today. This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Forgetting what is behind, I press forward to the high calling, the upward calling, to Jesus Christ as my Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in just a moment, we'll hold in our hands a piece of bread, but we'll hold in our heart your body. We'll see the cross and we'll see the lamp. And for some of us, we might need to light that lamp. For some of us, we may need to adjust the wick. For some of us, we may need to add the oil. But Lord, today, would you help us start 2018 like we can hold out? Would you give us a desire to say we want to see our family different, and so we're going to be different in our family? We want to see our family come to know Christ more, so we're going to come to know Christ more. We want to see our community influenced by our church, so we want to make our church the most blessed, holy place it can be, the most important place in this community, that it may reach out to broken, hurting lives and say to them, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know the need of every heart. You know the desire of every believer to press on, Lord, in 2018 to be your people. May we even now in this moment, as our choir is about to sing and remind us of the elements of communion, may we say to you, O Lord, today, for me to live is for you, Christ, to live within me. In Jesus' name we ask. We now come to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, given to us to celebrate in memory of his broken body and his shed blood. It's said that on the night before he was betrayed, at the conclusion of the feast of the Passover, which he and his disciples were celebrating, he took bread, and having blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Pray with me. Heavenly Father, a simple piece of bread but what it calls us to is far from simple. For that piece of bread is a photograph, a snapshot, as it were, of Calvary's Hill. And of you giving yourself up that I might have life and have it more abundantly and have it eternally. I don't know how you say thank you for that. But in this moment, as this bread is being distributed among baptized believers, help us to reflect what it means and where we go from here with you. In Jesus' name we pray. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and then died. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And it said on that same night, our Lord took the cup and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, this is my blood, and I shed it for you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in all the titles we give you, Lord and Savior and Master, strength, shield, our rock, our friend, we don't often use the term our hero. But Lord, indeed you are our hero. You came into our desperate and dire situation, lost and unable to find our way out of that lostness. And you became our light. And you became our love. And you became our Lord. And as surely as you promised to those disciples in the upper room that you go to prepare a place, and one day you'll come and receive us unto yourself, that where you are, there we will be also. As we hold this cup in our hands, make us mindful of that blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And according to the law, I may almost say that all things are cleansed through the shedding of blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord cleanses us from all our sins. It's 2018. You knew that, right? It's a new year. At the conclusion of our worship today, it's time to make a decision. We're about to sing a parting hymn I sing, page 375. You can turn there. And as we offer this invitation, I want to remind us one more time of what it took for us to be here today. And remind us that having church takes work. Having church in your home takes work. Having church in our community takes work. And as we sing this parting hymn, we're going to conclude the first worship service corporately as Flat Springs Baptist Church in 2018. What decisions will we make to live today? And then when we rise up in the morning to live tomorrow, when we gather for the second Sunday in 2018, we will bring those gifts to our Lord as a testimony in our worship to who He is in our lives. A parting hymn we sing. If you need to come forward, the Lord's leading you to do that, we would invite you to do that, but may each of us where we are make some decision about less being more as we stand together. And it said after our Lord had shared that first communion with His disciples, they sang a parting hymn. And they went and they left the upper room to a garden called Gethsemane, where there Jesus would pray if there was any way, but there was no way, for that cup to pass from Him, that it might be so. There Judas Iscariot would bring a band of soldiers from the Sanhedrin, the ruling bodies of the Jews, and they would arrest Jesus for blasphemy. They would carry Him before the high priest and then before Pontius Pilate, who would send Him to King Herod, who would send Him back to Pontius Pilate. And then as the people screamed for His death, finally, Pontius Pilate relented and sentenced Christ to die for high treason. So they led Him out of the court of Pontius Pilate, down the streets of Jerusalem, outside the wall and up a hill called Golgotha, Calvary, the place of skulls. And there he and two others would be nailed to a cross, and he would hang there until he died. That was on Friday, the first day. And on Saturday, the second day. And then on the first day of the week, the third day, the women went to anoint the dead body of Christ. And they found the stone had been rolled away. And an angel stood by the stone and said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead." That's what Deep River needs to hear in 2018. Amen. He has risen from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. We have been strengthened by communion today for this first day. Let's start out not only in this worship, but in our homes, at work, at school, that we can hold out for this year to be indeed the year of our Lord. I'll close us with prayer, and then we will close by singing, "Blessed Be the Time." Would you pray with me? Lord, as we leave this place, we do so in your peace and in your power and in your abiding presence, that we might be your victorious people in the midst of all your people. Go with us from this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be the time.